when I saw it was time for a change. I killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank.
Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you weren't aware, just sharing the former MAGA president in Waukesha today, making some remarks. We're going to get to that in just one second. Want to first shout out and thank my guest for the last half hour, former congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh. What a fun time we had. Can't wait to have him back. That was, it was nice to hear a recovering Republican say the quiet part out loud, right? I mean, thank goodness. Speaking of the quiet part out loud, Donald Trump, not a whit of actual policy articulated during a number of minutes of comments made. We're joined by Stuart Waddles. If you are on the phones, folks, stay there. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to go to the phones, but I want to bring on Civic Media's Southeastern News reporter for Southeastern Wisconsin, Stuart J. Waddles, who was on scene at the Trump remarks this afternoon at the Waukesha Expo Center. Welcome, Stuart. How are you?
Maggie B., how you doing?
I'm good, friend. You survived. It's a beautiful day out there. Hope you're getting some sunlight on your face. What? How many people were there? Let's start with the basics. Stuart, we're having a little problem hearing you. Let's try one more time, see if we've got it any better. About how many people were in attendance this afternoon? Yeah, we've got a bit of a problem here, and Stu, we're going to try a different way. We do, however, we're going to work to get Stu back. I am going to take some of the sound, if that's okay, Anya. So let's start. I'm actually going to start with cut one. I know I told you I wasn't going to take this, but I am going to take this. This is Donald Trump spewing a bunch of lies about the ability of women to make choices about their health care.
Nobody wants to see abortion in the eighth month, the ninth month, or nobody wants to see it after birth because you have a situation where the Democrats will allow it in the seventh, eighth, ninth month, and will allow execution of a baby even after birth. I mean, they actually have a standard. You remember the former governor of Virginia, he said, we put the baby down and we decide. The baby is born, we put the baby down, and we decide whether or not essentially to kill the baby.
Okay. This is from the Centers for Disease Control. This is CDC data being reported by the Pew Research Center. 93% of abortions occur in the first trimester. An additional 6% occur between 14 and 20 weeks of pregnancy. Only 1% were performed at 21 weeks or more of gestation. That is just me fact-checking basically in the last 2 minutes with some help from my great program director and my producer. That's just, 2 minutes of fact check. Joe Walsh put it well. Donald Trump and the MAGA party are trying to scare the wits out of people, painting a false reality. We shouldn't decide what the freedoms for half of our country are based on the extraordinarily few egregious cases. Nope. Not. We can have a conversation, a meaningful conversation about the freedom of women to choose healthcare. We don't have to scare each other to death with a false picture of what is, by any measure, an abhorrent set of circumstances. That is a lie. It is fear-mongering at its worst. For shame, sir. Again, 99% of abortions occur before the 21st week of pregnancy. 99% of them. Quit scaring the American public Mr. Cheeto. Let's listen. We got another cut here. Oh, let's try it. We've got Stuart J back. We think we've got better connection here. Stuart, are you there? Are you there?
I think I got the hamsters running right now. I think I've got them all running, and I think we're all good.
Good.
Yeah, I was just saying that collectively, I think all of southeastern Wisconsin is happy that this thing ended when it did, because the Brewer game is just getting out, and the way there, you know how this stuff works.
Somebody
like the president's in town, they shut everything down. So I-94 getting out there was an issue, and again, game time is over, and everybody starts getting out, and then they shut the interstate down, and I'm imagining there will be some ongoing problems in the Milwaukee metro area for traffic at the moment.
That score from the Brewers game, 7-1. Brewers over the Tampa Bay Rays, just clearing out. If you're on that 94 spur, take it easy, everybody. Patience is the word of the day. About how many people were there to see the MAGA president?
A few thousand, and even more were outside. There were a lot lingering around. It's kind of like an atmosphere outside, but again, a few thousand were inside, and kind of a full parking lot there at the Expo Center.
What, was there any actual tailgating? Anybody bust out the hibachi grill? That's what I want to know.
No full-on hibachiing. I don't think Secret Service would be down for that sort of thing. But there were just kind of some people around. And again, of note, he went on 30 minutes before the card said. The announcement said doors open at 11. He starts at 2. And he's on by 1:30. And he just wrapped up a few minutes ago at 3 o'clock.
Did you hear any cogent articulation of any policy?
Oh, well, it was a classic Trump speech. I mean, that's what the people are there for. He played the hits. He talked about the things that he's talking about on the campaign trail, and he's hitting everything. And again, an hour and a half, you got to kind of hit everything. But he mentioned during it that he's got the teleprompter, but 80% of the time he's not on it. So it's a lot of free flowing. And again, this isn't anything new and not a new commentary. It's just, there's a concert feel to it. There's an energy in the room. There's people paying attention there. It's like he's doing a stand up bit. People are engaged.
We actually have the sound from the teleprompter gag, if you will. Let's listen to the teleprompter bit.
You think that was on the teleprompter? I don't think so.
Yeah, he sounds like he's speaking for, like, oh, this is my big applause line. This is my punchline here. Do you see anybody that ever puts up an eyebrow, or is it all like, yeah, this is the best thing ever that I'm hearing?
Well, I think the people that are there, you know, they went through the effort to get the tickets, and if you get there and go through all that effort and get thrown out within 5 minutes, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people wanting to do that. So the people there were there for him. Now, outstanding of that, we kind of talk about what happened in Waukesha this morning.
Yes.
Where you had the Biden-Harris campaign putting on an event, kind of a tit-for-tat, if you will.
Yes.
So in a kind of it's kind of interesting how you put these two events together, where you have the Democrats this morning coming out, one issue, they talked about abortion, they stuck to it 10 minutes in and out, and then he comes and it's an hour and a half of you name it.
Yeah,
whatever the issue is, he's got it on his agenda. So it's, again, it's an interesting contrast in how these campaigns are going to be run.
Well, it's
nationwide and here.
Of course. And to me, it's hey, are we here to party fun time, or do we want some adults running government? It has that feeling to me every time I listen to President Biden speak. Every time, you know, even this morning, very brief press conference, but it was about actual policies. It was about speaking to Wisconsin voters versus I'm just going to throw out a bunch of applause lines with no real articulation of any forward-looking vision for the country, Wisconsin, or anything of the sort. It's strange to me that the comparison can be so starkly drawn. Now, were you at the presser this morning, Stuart?
No, I didn't get to that one. I rolled tape on that one and was able to kind of do some follow-up on that, but we didn't get to that. But we did get some sound, and I think you've been able to play some of that.
Yeah, we did. One of the interesting points that I think bears mentioning here, under Donald Trump, Wisconsin lost over 83,000 jobs. He had promised to bring 13,000 high-tech manufacturing jobs to Racine County. That never happened. You contrast that with President Biden, who's added to the balance sheet 177,000 jobs in Wisconsin, including over 20,000 manufacturing jobs. Did President Trump talk at all about supporting the middle class or job growth here in the state of Wisconsin?
He did go a little bit on about Marinette Marine and the contract that he acquired for them. And I think it's always tough to, and I think the population knows this, the electorate knows this, that it's tough to talk about job numbers at this point, given what we've gone through with COVID. So with the Biden campaign telling you how many jobs that they've created, you've also got the Trump campaign telling you, well, we had COVID. And then Biden says, well, we had COVID. So it's a, it's a tough kind of go-between for both campaigns to kind of point that out. But I think the electorate went through that. The population went through COVID, and they knew people that lost their jobs, and they knew people that got their jobs back. So it's kind of a tough sell at this point. And I think there's other indications in the economy that are, I think, more important to people. But I know, and having a job is the ultimate, but I think that's kind of where we stand now.
Anything about unions, I don't think if you want to – talk about the fact that perhaps you can argue about job creation numbers. I don't think you can argue about the fact that President Biden has been decidedly pro-union, literally standing shoulder to shoulder with the United Auto Workers back when they were on strike. President Trump addressed organized labor and unions at all during his speech?
Not in this one. I haven't heard him talk in recent speeches about Michigan auto workers and some of their opposition to the electric vehicle mandates. But nothing at this point. And that doesn't speak to, I guess, growing jobs, but the kind of jobs is what he was talking about in that instance.
Well, I don't know that we're looking at EV mandates here in the state of Wisconsin, or that anybody's advocating that we wipe out classic or traditional UAW auto manufacturing jobs.
Well, you would agree, though, that there's been a lot of money funneled in for that specific purpose from the government.
For what? The...
Just pushing forward electric vehicles, giving them incentives for batteries.
Right.
And
there's
again,
lots and lots of tax incentives for lots and lots of things, including one of the largest corporate tax breaks ever in modern American history, put into place by Donald Trump during his initial term in 2016 to 2020. I call that a pretty big tax credit or a tax break. Certainly, I think no one would disagree with the idea that facing some of the conservation challenges we have in the state, looking at various options or alternatives to fossil fuel energy is crucial. Overall sense of does this help Donald Trump move the needle at all in the state?
And I guess I'll answer that in a second, but just it might be interesting tonight to watch him in Michigan to see if he does bring up the auto workers and if he has anything to say about that issue, because it's something that may be more relevant to them. And we've talked about this before. The most interesting voter out there for me is the Obama-Trump voter.
Right.
There are people that voted for Obama that voted for Trump, and I think it's appealing to them figuring out how to get them onto your side and how.
We've got to leave it there. That is Stuart J. Waddles, reporter for Southeastern Wisconsin with Civic Media. My thanks to... Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to tell you about a very special guest I've got lined up for tomorrow. I have Liana Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations tomorrow. It's going to be part of a number of episodes and guests that I'm going to have to do a bit of reflection on the complexities of foreign policy. This is much more complicated than I think many of us may understand or appreciate, and we'll begin that discussion tomorrow with Ms. Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations. Very much looking forward to that. I also want to give a bit of a clarification. I talked yesterday at length, and then I'm going to go to the phones. I talked yesterday at length about former Attorney General Bill Barr. I talked a bit about what is known as Iraqgate. I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of the detail here. I may do so on a later episode, but I wanted to make this very clear. No one was ever prosecuted for Iraqgate. Internal investigations that did proceed under President Clinton did not find evidence of criminal wrongdoing. The allegations largely surround what was called the Commodity Credit Corporation program run by the Department of Agriculture, which issued credits to nations for the purchase of U.S. agricultural products. It was within this somewhat Byzantine complex structure that allegations were made. that effectively money was being funneled to Iraq to buy chemical weapons and other biological weapons that were then deployed in Iraq. Of course, that relationship, that friendly relationship between Saddam Hussein and the United States, everybody remembers the infamous picture of George H.W. Bush shaking hands with Saddam. That all ended with Iraq's invasion of Kuwait in 1990. It is also incredibly important to point out that many, many moons later, the pretextual reason for the subsequent invasion was weapons of mass destruction, and none were found there. There is a goodly amount of time between 1990 and 2003. And it is documented that Saddam Hussein did deploy chemical and biological weapons on his own people around the time that these Iraq Gate allegations were made. So I just wanted to clarify that, lest there be any confusion. We're always trying to get it right here. Having checked that box, let's go to the phone lines. If you want to comment on Donald Trump's, I can't call it speech, can't call it a platform, rambling set of remarks.
I was going to call it bits of blather. I've been holding on to that one.
Oh, I like that.
It's a little too nice for him, but bits of blather.
But yeah, blather. I always like the word blather. It's so descriptive. Mark from Prairie du Sac, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Oh, you just had to open up that hornet's nest in my brain about the whole Iraq thing and the whole Iran-Contra. And it just, I was frosted about that back in the 1980s, so I was actually paying attention back then. It wouldn't surprise me that if the rescue mission that Jimmy Carter tried to stage for the hostage was sabotaged by somebody.
Well, thanks, Mark. That is precisely what many people allege, that Ronald Reagan made a deal with the Ayatollah Khomeini to basically undermine the deal that Jimmy Carter was setting up for the freeing of the hostages, and thus ushered Reagan into a pretty easy victory in 1980. That's the entire problem. Cam. Hello, Cam. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Oh, hey, I don't even remember what my original point was. I called in a while ago, but it like went right out the window as soon as you played the bit from Trump today where he said the nonsense about 7, 8, and 9th, and then even afterbirth, execution of babies.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that they like to stretch the truth, and sometimes it's just nonsense. Most of the times it's nonsense. Is there anything that they're, like, one specific case that they're picking up on where there was a quote-unquote execution of someone after 9 months? I'm leaning on nonsense because I've never heard that, but oh, my God.
Listen, the harsh reality of some of these things is that very late-term abortions have occurred, okay? And the medical details surrounding those procedures, I think, would be shocking to many people. The reality is that 99% of abortions have nothing to do with that. The reality is that even the 1% that are later term abortions often have to do with incredibly serious life-threatening complications for the life of the mother. That's what's going on here. I do not myself know offhand of any documented case of what I would call the most morally challenging sort of late-term abortion as referenced by the president. My problem with the former president, my problem with these sorts of remarks is that it scares people of goodwill and good conscience. You hear that and you're like, that is abhorrent, I think, to many people. But the reality is that that is a grotesque distortion. It is tantamount to a lie. Now, there were more lies told by Donald Trump this afternoon. Let's take a listen. We're actually going to take the January 6th. This is going to be cut 4. Let's listen to what Donald Trump had to say about January 6th.
Once I got indicted the first time, I got indicted 4 times. Think of it. 4 times for nothing. They say J6. J6, Nancy Pelosi didn't call in the police. I said, I will send you 10,000 soldiers. She didn't want them. And the mayor of Washington, in writing, didn't want them. And by the way, the hoax committee that they set up, I call it the unselect committee. I always like that term, the unselect. But the unselect committee damaged and threw out all of the evidence. Did you know that? And nobody does anything.
Okay, so let's talk about those lies. Trump did not offer 10,000 soldiers to protect the Capitol. That is an out-and-out proven lie. He has claimed this before. The official Department of Defense timeline of events associated with January 6th, no such order was ever given by the president. No such order was ever given by the president. That is according to the Department of Defense. Oh, yeah. And the mayor that he just talked about, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, actually asked for National Guard troops to be deployed that day, and DOD turned her down. The lie is that he did everything to keep the National Guard from interfering in his conspiracy to stop the peaceful transfer of power, threaten Mike Pence's life, and keep himself installed as a now authoritarian dictator. That's what actually happened. It's all lies. Oh, this bit about the Unselect Committee and destroying evidence. That's not how this works, you doof. I mean, we don't present evidence to a congressional committee and then, you know, it only exists in one form. There's only one copy of the document. Then we just all go out back and torch it all. All this stuff is digitized. It exists in many, many copies. And by the way, Jack Smith has even more evidence. I say, let's see the evidence, Donald. Let's actually have a trial, you know, and test the evidence in a court of law because we're a nation of laws. Stop lying. The former MAGA president. We'll take more of the sound and I'll fact check that too after these brief messages.
Open up, everything's waiting for you. You can go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it enough.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big day for news. Former MAGA president was here. We've been listening to some of the sound. I'm going to continue to dig into that if you want to join the conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And don't forget that your smart speaker will play the Civic Media Radio Network. You need only say play Civic Media or play WMDX if you happen to be in Madison, or WAUK if you're here in the walk. So check that out. Also tonight, the 3rd Congressional District Forum is happening at the Student Union Theater in La Crosse. That kicks off at 6:30. It is the second of 4 forums focused on the Democratic primary for the 3rd CD. You can hear that forum live on Civic Media on WLCX La Crosse, WCFW Chippewa Falls, WRCE Richland Center, and, of course, WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. Go check that out tonight. Since there's no Brewers game, they took down the Tampa Bay Rays 7-1. That game just finishing up a few minutes ago. So the former MAGA president was in Waukesha today having another concert vibe / tent revival cult thing littered with lies and scare tactics. Don't be duped. I care about you. Let's go back to disagreeing about tax policy and how to fund Medicare better and how to make sure Social Security works for every American. Well, I yearn for those days of wonky policy disagreements. We'll get back there. But for now, let's coalesce around maybe we don't want to be duped or lied to and misdirected and have fears and divisions sown by our leaders. Maybe less of that. But just for context, Joe Biden has been to Wisconsin three times since the beginning of this year. That's three times in 2024 alone. He's made 10 trips to Wisconsin in total during his presidency. Vice President Harris, she was most recently here April 22nd. She was in La Crosse. She was in Madison in March, and she was in Waukesha right here in January. The First Lady also in Waukesha in March. By comparison, the last time Donald Trump before today was in Wisconsin was in August 2022. Oops. It's been a little while. I think he might have popped into Green Bay for a little short stint on April 2nd. But before then, it was August of 2022. It's funny. We haven't seen Donald Trump's vice president here at all campaigning for him. It's weird. Who is that again?
I was just about to ask, Maggie, who would that even be?
Is that Hang Mike Pence? Is that Hang Mike Pence?
Couldn't be.
I think it's Hang Mike Pence. Biden had something to say about that. Just this past weekend.
Is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
Yes. Yeah. Funny. I also haven't seen Melania here either. Not on the stump. So, it's ironic to me, of course, conservatives criticized Hillary Clinton in 2016. You didn't pay enough attention to Wisconsin. Well, now President Biden and his wife, Jill, Vice President Harris, they're paying attention to Wisconsin. And guess what? The Republicans, that's not right either. Republican strategist Brandon Schultz said even Republicans who are not firm backers of Trump, the front runner for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination, are driven to defeat Biden. Quote, Republicans are like sharks smelling blood in the water. They see Biden is weak. Biden can come to Wisconsin 1,000 times, and I don't think it's going to change his position.
Can't win.
No. I always like an end zone or goalpost that keep moving around.
Yeah, that's the best part of sports when someone picks up the goal and runs away with it. That makes for a really fun, fair game. Right, Maggie?
Oh, yes. That's. Listen, I was a second row rugby player or a lock. These are the workhorses on the rugby pitch. The last thing I wanted to see was that rugby ball getting kicked all over the place because that meant I was just trucking myself up and down the pitch. No. I like close in rugby, less running. Let's listen to some more sound because this one is particularly out there. I'm going to challenge us all, conservatives and libertarians and independents and undecideds. Let's challenge us all to see if we can follow the bouncing ball in this set of remarks from the president just about an hour ago. This is going to be cut number two, Anya.
Crooked Joe is flooding our country with millions and millions of low-wage migrants from crime-ridden countries all over the world. This isn't just South America. They're coming from all over the world. Last week, 22 from the Congo in Africa. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from Asia. They're coming from the Middle East. We're bombing Yemen. Here we go again with the bombs, right? A phone call could solve the problem in about 2 minutes if you had a president that knew what the hell to say. Here we go with those bombs. Let's drop bombs. Let's kill everybody. That's what they say. Let's go and kill everybody. $1 million a bomb. Each bomb. Average price, $1 million. Let's bomb the hell out of these countries that don't want to be bombed. You can make a deal. I made deals.
Whew. Let's just start with the dog whistles, shall we? 22 from the Congo in Africa. They're coming from Asia and the Middle East. I think that is literally the top five greatest hits of Americans' most notorious racists. And listen, I, just like my guest at 2:30, former Congressman Joe Walsh, I do not believe that my conservative friends think of themselves or want to be racists. I just don't know. That's not who folks are. That's not who Wisconsinites are. No, there's a faction, but the vast majority of people, that's not how they're trying to operate in their day-to-day lives. But if the guy that you're maybe going to vote for constantly rolls out racial stereotypes and scare tactics that are about people's race, that's racist. See? And then he goes from that, ball bounces over to Yemen. What? Is that what the teleprompter is doing? Insert random racist comments here, like in a bracket, and then like, Yemen, please riff.
You think that was on the teleprompter? I don't think so.
It just, I would like our president to be someone who can express a cogent and complete train of thought. Forget for a moment even the racism, even the politics. Cogent train of thought that can move through a number of points that stitch together into a thoughtful and articulate set of policy positions that they are proposing for the American people for their term as president. Is that too much to ask? Cogency? I suppose what we should listen, since we're talking about fear tactics and scaring people. And by the way, when he talks about these things, what I'm thinking about are all of the family farms and all the farms in the state of Wisconsin and other massive agricultural states as well that rely on seasonal workers, some of whom are migrants. It would cripple our family farms. It would cripple the U.S. agricultural industry if we did this. This is cut number 5.
By allowing millions and millions, which is not sustainable, of people coming into our country through the southern border, and many, many really bad ones, okay? Many, many bad ones. You're going to destroy Social Security. You're going to destroy Medicare. You're going to destroy the fabric of the country. It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country. And they're going to destroy our country. So we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country. We have no choice.
The cheering goes on for a while. In the Time magazine article, he actually talks about deporting 20 million people, many of them from jails and prisons and mental institutions. The undocumented population in the United States is estimated to be around 11.5 million.
So where does that next 9 million come from, huh?
Are they from Congo and Asia? And I say all this to say, you'll destroy our country if you, first of all, we don't have the man and woman power to round up nearly 12 million people. We don't have detention facilities. And even undocumented people are entitled to many, not all, but many constitutional rights. And they are definitely entitled to due process. We don't have the legal system for that. Oh, guess what we did have? We had a bill that Joe Biden said he would sign that would give us more Border Patrol agents, more detention facilities, yes, more immigration judges to ensure due process, some human dignity, but to get people deported, yes, that didn't have a legal basis to be here. Read asylum. There was that bill, but according to a senator, a Republican senator, Donald Trump is the one that's responsible for killing that. Donald Trump. So I don't get why it's okay for any of us to accept someone that's running on scare tactics and this legitimate challenge that we have about what to do about our southern border, what is the most appropriate way to deal with an incredible influx of human beings in incredible need coming to our country. We had a bill that would help address that, but we're going to allow him to campaign on an issue that he intends intentionally set back, that he intentionally kept our government from doing something about? How is that okay? I just don't get it. I think we've spent enough time on the Cheeto.
Probably. My hands are kind of orange dusted now after all this. I don't like this.
Yeah, probably not good.
Not good.
I do want to set up. I'm going to talk about this more likely tomorrow, but we'll get it started. Maybe I'll get through it. But I want to talk about the Vice President Olympics that are now going on, because there is a whole set of people jockeying to be Donald Trump's running mate. The storied list includes J.D. Vance, Elise Stefanik, Rick Scott, Doug Burgum. You won't remember who he is. He's the governor of North Dakota. And Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, as well as South Dakota's governor, Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem, so much to say here. I'm sure most of you have heard about this book that she's got coming out. I'm going to spend a little time on that, but also the potential legal problem of Marco Rubio as a vice presidential potential running mate for Donald Trump. So we're going to have the first installment of the Vice Presidential Olympics after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for the last segment of the afternoon. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with all of you in just a moment.
Bruises on both my knees. Don't say thank you, oh please. I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul, so cynical. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3:50 in the afternoon. I'm going to be back tomorrow with a special guest, Liana Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations. One of a series of interviews and thinkings that we will do together to help us understand what I think sometimes turns people off a little bit, because foreign policy is complicated and it's difficult, and it doesn't really work in sound bites. So we're going to dig in, and we've got a couple special episodes that Anya and I are going to do together next week. I'll tell you more about those tomorrow. But for right now, I want to talk about the VP Olympics, a whole gamut of people vying to be Donald Trump's running mate. All kinds of performative politics going on. And most notoriously and most recently, the Cruella de Vil of South Dakota, Miss Kristi Noem, is putting out a biography, and in probably what has to be one of the most ridiculous political miscalculations I have seen in a long, long time, she admits in this book to killing the family's pointer dog by putting a bullet in its brain point blank and pushing it into a gravel pit, which didn't end the killing spree that day. She then went and got one of the family's smelly goats that she didn't like, cocked the shotgun and shot it point blank, but the goat bucked and she was out of shells. So as the goat lay writhing on the ground in pain, she had to walk back to her truck because it wasn't on the edge of the gravel pit, get more shotgun shells, walk back, and then finish executing the goat, who was smelly and aggressive by her terms. Yeah, some goats are aggressive. And apparently this was a male goat, had not been spayed or neutered, which is the one for male, is it neutered?
I don't. The only word I can think of is castrated.
Okay. Yeah. That hadn't happened. So yes, there can be some aggression. They had a farm. The dog was a pointer dog. Why did they kill it? Well, she always hated the dog. These are her words, not mine. Always hated the dog. And after she had taken it out, it was, I think, somewhere in the ballpark of 14 months old. So still a puppy, a pointer, which is a hunting dog, particularly a bird dog, if you will. She had taken the dog out on a bird hunt. You know, sometimes dogs can be hard to train, and it was a little rambunctious. And on the way back from the bird hunt, the dog took off, actually pointed at a bird. It just happened to be a neighbor's chicken and killed the chicken. The dog's doing what's in its DNA. She paid the neighbor for the chicken and then shot the dog. Dog's name was Cricket. Daughter came home shortly after this and went, "Where's Cricket?" This is animal cruelty by any measure, and the cruelty is indeed the point. Why, one has to ask, would you include such a story in your own biography? Hey, check out this really terrible, awful, no good, very bad Cruella de Vil cartoonishly cruel thing that I did. She even points out in the book that there was a construction crew nearby the gravel pit, and that the sight of her executing two of her family's, one pet, one farm animal, family farm animal, and hoisting their dead carcasses into the gravel pit sort of caused the grizzled South Dakotan construction crew to stop what they were doing and stare agape at her cartoonish cruelty. And she recounts this basically like, "I do hard things." I'm sorry. That's not a hard thing. Shooting an animal who is defenseless in the head with a rifle isn't a hard thing. In fact, it's the easiest thing. Guess what is hard? Training a dog sometimes. Guess what's hard? Taking a dog and maybe working on rehousing it. Making sure that your goats are properly penned so that the uncastrated male goats can't display the aggression that, again, is in their DNA, which you would know since you live on a farm. Christy Noem, it is an open secret in Republican MAGA circles that she has had a long-standing affair with Corey Lewandowski. She's married with kids, Corey Lewandowski, not her husband. Corey Lewandowski, also infamous for unsolicited, unwelcomed sexual assault, butt grabbing, not the terrible, terrible kind, and the like. Their detailed history and evidence indicating the facts of their affair put forward by The Guardian at length. I won't go into it. But just in case anybody's keeping score here in the VP Olympics, South Dakotan Governor Christy Noem checking the boxes for unbelievable cartoonish animal cruelty. Also, adultery. And as if this wasn't quite enough, she greased the skids for her daughter's appraiser license through state government. I don't know how this is, and this is her trying to explain that away.
We've got like just enough time for it.
Let's give her a go. I might wrap it up. Let's take a little. This is her, and she got rung up by like a state ethics commission for this. This is her trying to explain this away.
On my daughter Cassidy's certification to become a real estate appraiser. There's a lot of speculation and innuendo in the media, and I wanted to take a second to set the record straight. I never once asked for special treatment for Cassidy. She is my daughter, and I'm proud of her. I raised her to accomplish things on her own, just like my parents raised me. Other appraisers went through the exact same process that Cassidy did. And I'll be honest, my administration started fixing that process, and it was way too difficult. Appraisers weren't getting certified, and South Dakotans were having to wait much longer to buy a home than in other states. This system had been broken for decades.
Oh, it wasn't about your kid. It was about the broken appraisal certification system. And so I'm sure except for the South Dakota Ethics Board, who said that it found sufficient information that the governor may have, quote, engaged in misconduct when she, by their accounting, intervened in her daughter's application for a real estate appraiser license. And last but surely not least, Christy Gnome got some veneers recently, put it all out on social media, but she went to Texas. I don't know if I'm a cosmetic dentist in South Dakota. I might be a little mad that she took her free veneers from a Texas cosmetic dentist. So if you're keeping score, the dog-killing, influence-peddling, adulterous Cruella de Vil with the fake teeth from Texas, she's high on the list for the VP contenders. Ugh, makes me sleep easy at night. That's it for this episode. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it's better when we stand together.